Joshua chapter 4. Excited about what God's given me tonight on the heel of what we preached on Sunday about you can learn a lot from a pile of rock. We're going to be looking at some more rocks tonight, but it's a little different scenario. The Bible said in verse 17 of chapter 3, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan." I want to say this tonight. If ever there's been a generation where we need some people to stand firm, it's in this generation that we live in. It seems like most people today, and it's even bled over into the church a whole lot, are just checking to see what's popular. The Word of God's always right. The Word of God never will be popular in the world. And we need to stand firm on the foundation that God has given us. All the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, "Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. Joshua said unto them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged. That would have been Gilgal if you read a little bit further on. And laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Verse 20, "And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean thee? What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever." Pray with me for just a moment. I want to preach a little while on this subject, what mean these stones. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for your people that have gathered tonight. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit that's still speaking to our hearts in these days. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for clothing us. Thank you, Lord, for feeding us. I just pray tonight, our Father, that you'd make the preaching of thy word a blessing in the ears of your people. Lord, especially as we endeavor to start up Sunday school and start up children's church, especially I pray God, help us to see something that would encourage us to do all that we can for your glory, that the next generation might know you, might serve you, might love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I think it's interesting tonight, if you study this out, that God didn't just rush them in to Jericho after that they crossed the river. One of the first things you're going to find tonight as we look at what these stones mean is that there's a spiritual battle that needs to be won before the physical battle can be won. And I think that's pictured in the circumcision that God wants to take care of in the children of Israel under Joshua's command. You read about that in chapter number 5. One of the first things I think these stones mean tonight is that we need to forget the failures of the flesh. The circumcision was the cutting away of the flesh. The men that had been circumcised died in the wilderness. These men that crossed over were those that were younger than the men of war. Because you remember, beloved, the reason they died in the wilderness is because they did not believe God at Kadesh Barnea. They wandered 40 years because they did not believe God. And the Word of God is talking about some failures. They had a failure in their faith. They had a failure, beloved, listen, to do what God wanted them to do. I believe that even if you study the Bible out, Moses, that great leader, had a failure. Listen to me tonight. If we don't get anything else, these stones ought to help us to understand and realize that though we fail the Lord, He can still use us. And I like the song that said, though I failed the Lord, He's never failed me. And you remember when the second time that Moses was to speak to the rock, and he smote the rock, and he said, hear now, you rebels. See, there's typology in that. Christ is the rock. That rock that followed them was Christ, the book of Hebrews said. And so Christ was never to be smitten twice. He was only going to be smitten once. And when Moses said, hear now, you rebels, the truth of the matter is, the rebel was in his own heart. The people of God, listen to me carefully, got under his skin and aggravated him. Amen. They were murmuring. They were complaining. And he said, must we fetch you water out of the rock? And God said, listen, Moses, I'm going to let you look over yonder, but you ain't going. By the way, let me just stop and say this tonight. I do not believe that the cross, the passage out of the wilderness into Canaan land, is a type of somebody going from earth to heaven. I believe it's a type of a victorious Christian life. You say, Pastor, why do you believe that? Because surely to God we don't have any more battles to fight when we get to heaven. We don't have any more enemies to conquer. The Word of God said, Brother Griswold, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. When we get there, thank God, the enemy's behind us. Amen. We never have to fight another battle. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. So these stones mean we can forget the failures of the flesh. I'll just touch on this and I'm going to go on. You've heard me say this. I want to say it again right here. I believe the reason that God chose Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost rather than choosing John, the one that leaned on his bosom, the one that went all the way to Calvary with him, the one that where Jesus was hanging on the cross said, son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. I tell you, if it had been me, there's not a doubt in my mind. I'd have said, John, you're my man. But I tell you what I believe Jesus was doing. He chose Peter, and he had a reason in doing it. Jesus, our Lord, knew there'd be a whole lot more people in this world like Peter than like John. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that you've always lived in His bosom? Wouldn't you like to be able to say that you never failed Him? That you went all the way with Him? I tell you what, tonight, I can't say that. Maybe you can. But I tell you what I can do. I can say tonight, we can forget those failures because God can still use us. Amen. He picked Peter up and filled him up with the Holy Ghost and used him for the glory of God Almighty. He can do the same for us. What mean these stones? You can forget the failures of the flesh. Number two, these stones mean this. You can move forward in faith. It was time, beloved, listen. You know, I believe when they came down there to that river, they were probably, listen, if you remember now, the river's at flood stage. They're not talking about rolling up your britchy legs and taking your shoes and socks off and wading water that deep to get on the other side. The Jordan River's at flood stage. There's no way to go across that river except a miracle. Can I tell you tonight, I believe we've forgotten this in this generation to a large degree. Our Lord's still a miracle-working God. Every time a sinner gets saved by the grace of God, I believe that's the greatest miracle. You know, Brother Steve, think about the ministry there at Harmony. It's somebody whose mouth is just in such disrepair. Coming out of there one day and being able to chew their food without hurting. And they're probably going to think something like this. This is a miracle. They dropped, you said, a $1 million facility right in your lap. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God is still on the throne. He still cares about people. He still cares about the poor and the rich and everybody in between. He still cares about them tonight. And they need to move forward in faith. I believe the children of Israel, they know that God is on their side. The Word of God said in chapter 5, verse 1, their heart did melt. Their heart melted. Neither was there any spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Listen, the world knew, beloved, that God was on their side. That's what, you remember, Rahab had heard. This people, there's no use to even fight them because you're not going to win. Amen? God is on their side. So we need to move forward in faith. I believe that's important. I believe it's important in a Sunday school class. I believe it's important in a church. I believe it's important in a home. You say, Pastor, why do you believe it's important? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to ask you something tonight. How many people in Kingsford do you believe today are diligently seeking Him? How many people at Bible Way are diligently seeking Him? Want more than anything in this world to know and to do His will. I'll tell you tonight, beloved, listen, God honors that. Joshua had a connection here. God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And one of the first things He does is a miracle, just like He did with Moses, and parts the Jordan River, just as He had parted the Red Sea. You've got the stones. They're over there in Gilgal. The Bible said there that they laid them down there. You've got the stones there in the middle of the river. And the Word of God said they placed them there. You remember on Sunday, the stones were just heaped. Remember that? They were heaped over Achan. And they were heaped over the king of Ai. But here, there was an order. By the way, the beloved Apostle Paul said, let all your things be done decently and in order. I believe faith has an order about it, don't you? And I believe God wants to do things by faith, wants us to do things by faith and in order, ordered by the Word of God. I don't know exactly why, but it's almost like that God puts the stones, you know the water is going to come back together. The children of Israel are over there, and God sends for the priests. The priests come out, and the Word of God said as soon as their feet hit the dry land on the other side,
God allowed the water to close right back up, just like it was at the flood stage. So these stones that are in the middle of the river are now unseen. Beloved, I'll tell you something right now. There needs to be some markers in our life. Others can't see. You ought to have a relationship with God. Listen, it'll come out, yes. It'll be reflected, yes. But there ought to be something special, amen, between you and your Heavenly Father, beloved, that marks that faith in your life. I believe it's special. And then God said, I want not only the markers there for this generation, but I want the markers on the other side for the next generation. I want those stones piled up there or placed there. Or the Word of God said there, they laid them down there. And God did it in order. So tonight, what mean these stones? It means that we don't need to forget the failures. We need to forget the failures of our flesh, and then we need to move forward in faith. But I want to give you this tonight. This is something I think that we need to get. We don't need to fear the flood. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. You know I'm telling it right. There's going to be a day when you get up and everything's normal. And before the end of that day, you're overwhelmed. The Word of God said, beloved, listen, He would go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. The songwriter, years ago, I heard the McCamey sing the song, when the waves of trouble are over your head, they're under His feet. And I believe when we look at this and look at these stones, they could remember the river at flood stage, and we don't need to be afraid of the flood. The Bible said, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We need to fear God. We don't need to fear the flood. Amen. We need to face the flood in faith. Crossing the Jordan from the wilderness into Canaan. Thank God they were getting on that victory ground. He's getting the people to look to their leader now, just like they looked to Moses. There may have been some question marks. You know, is this really going to work out? But when God did this miracle and God put up these memorials, He's wanting them to know, listen, God don't leave Himself without a witness. He's got a witness in every generation, and He's got a leader now in Joshua. And I appreciate that, don't you? I want to give you this tonight. It won't be very much longer. What mean these stones? It mean we can forget the failures of the flesh and we can move forward in faith and we don't need to fear the flood. But the Lord spoke to my heart about this. We need to trust the future to our Father. I don't know what the future holds. The rockets are flying by the thousands into Israel. I do not know what the future holds. I know Bible prophecy a little bit, and I know the big picture, so to speak. But as far as my household, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know when I'll go to the doctor and get some news that many have gotten down through the years. But I do know this. I know who holds the future in the palm of His hand. I can trust my Heavenly Father with my future. I believe the children of Israel did that. And I believe that when the kids in the ages to come looked at those stones at Gilgal and said, what mean these stones? Look what the Word of God said. You shall let your children know. I'll say this tonight. If you don't do anything else in this world, you better let your children know there's a God in heaven and it pays to serve Him. Amen. It pays to worship Him. The Word of God said, let your children know, say, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. You say, Pastor, do you believe it's dry? Yes, I do, because the Bible said it was dry. And I believe the Bible. Amen. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. In verse number 3, chapter number 3, verse 17, chapter 4, verse number 3, you see that firm, the priest's feet stood firm. You see that firm foundation. In verse number 5, I want you to see this tonight. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone. Look at those next three words. Upon his shoulder. I brought something from the house tonight. This was the biggest one we had left in the pile. Brother Ralph and Brother John, Brother Houston, they helped us place these things all around the pond. It's heavy. And here's what God spoke to my heart about. I don't doubt, Brother Grizzle, they were bigger men than me. I don't doubt they were carrying bigger stones than this. What I wanted you to see tonight is it's no little thing. They had to put them on their shoulder. What God's telling us in the Word of God tonight is these memorials are big. People will make big out of a lot of things in their life. Brother Rick, what we leave our youngins ought to be bigger than anything else in our life. That we're pointing them to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Pointing them to the Word of God that can give them direction in their life. Pointing them to the throne of God and teaching them that there's a God in heaven that'll never leave them, never forsake them, that always cares for them, and always has an answer. And they had to go back down there to where the priests, where their feet stood firm. They had to get those rocks out of the midst of the Jordan and carry them over on the other side to Gilgal. I'm wondering tonight how many people in this world are even thinking about a memorial, let alone leaving one, that their youngins can see the way. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I don't know if y'all remembered or not. The night you all voted on me as pastor, somebody turned in a question about the youth. I don't remember exactly what it was. And I put it in my pocket. I was back there in the fellowship hall with my family. You all were about to vote on me. You remember that? It was true then and it's true now. There's not one thing more important in this church's life than leaving a memorial. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Brother Ralph, the day comes you're the youngest man in the church is drying up and dying. They're not optional. We have to have them. In order to be what God wants us to be, we have to have them. We have to have them. We have to have them. Your pastor is looking forward to the first Sunday in June. I'm almost wanting to call it a grand opening. Amen. I can't wait to see some of them. I'm wondering if some of them, Sister Jerry, won't have beards. I know this. God ain't forgot them. Your pastor hadn't forgotten, and your pastor believes with all of his heart that you haven't forgotten. We're going to put our shoulder to the wheel, and we're going to do what we can for the glory of God. From the nursery. Oh, by the way, I haven't forgot the seniors either. Second Tuesday in June, we're starting back with Young at Heart. Y'all know what that is, don't you? That's a ministry for the seniors. Brother Larry, we finally found something you can get in on. Both you Larrys. Both of you's older than dirt. We get together in the fellowship hall. Bring something to eat. Miss Eve and I have been discussing there might be a theme at times. Maybe at times it's going to be Italian. Maybe at times it's going to be American. That'd be hamburgers and hot dogs. But anyway, maybe at times it'll be potluck. But I'm going to tell you what, every time the fellowship will be sweet. And I've got it in my heart to maybe get Brother Don once in a while, McCann, maybe some of our preachers here to come and give us a devotion. Brother Gang, give us a devotion. And I'm just looking for it to grow. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's it going to take? I tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take work. That's what it's going to take. That we can leave. What I'm trying to tell you is, the kids are important, but so are the old folks. Amen. I'm looking back there at Emily, the old folks. See, there ain't but one Emily in here. She can't pass that off on somebody else. I'll tell you what, Emily does act like she's about 40. She's very mature. I appreciate her. I'll give you something tonight. Not only do you see the foundation, you see that they took it upon their rock, the rock upon their shoulder. It's big. Look at verse number 7. The Bible said, "Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel." Somebody tell me what those last two words are. Forever. Let me teach you something right here. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. I've maybe shared it years ago. Whenever in a home a child goes astray, a parent that's worth their salt, the first place they look in the mirror, what did I do? What didn't I do? God taught me something. I believe the Lord taught me something. I won't be dogmatic about it. But it just struck a chord in my heart, the forever. The Bible said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." How many of you all understand, without me going into detail, I could just say David. How many of you all understand that there are examples in the Bible where children were raised right that didn't turn out right? How many of y'all understand that? So I've heard that verse preached, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. I've heard that verse preached that God has given you a written guarantee that if you do the right thing, they'll do the right thing. I appreciate that, Sister Mary, but I hope and pray you never have to experience. They're stepping on your toes, and that ain't bad. But when they step on you hard, that's bad. I've heard people say, "Well, here's what it means. You train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart, but it means they might go away for a while, but they'll come back." How many's heard both those things? I don't believe either one of them is right. Let me give you something. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but how many of y'all know what a theocracy is? You remember when the children of Israel, Brother Rick, they wanted a king. They wanted to be like all the other nations of the world. In other words, God was their king. God was their father. But I can tell you this, Brother Steve, I'm not a perfect father. But I can tell you this, he is. And they rebelled against him. Is that right or is that wrong? Say, give us a king. We want to be like the rest of the world. I'm paraphrasing there, something like the other nations or something like that. But that's the gist of it. I'll tell you what I believe. The Bible's talking about the memorial. The Bible's talking about forever. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Brother Steve, God forbid. But if Chloe were to turn her back on that book, Turn her back on her mom and dad. Turn her back on the preaching that she's heard all of her life. I am a believer. And I don't care how far she goes. She can never get away from the training. She can run. She can hide. But she can never get away from the training. I believe it'll follow them forever. You say, Pastor, you believe the memorial's important? Yes, I do. I think you Sunday school teachers, I think you ought to be asking God, Lord, they've come in my class today. Do you understand when they walk out, they might not be back? Do you understand when you walk out, you might not be back? So what would be wrong with saying, God, let me leave a mark? By the help of God, a spiritual mark. Something they won't forget. Something that'll help them. I was listening to a commercial, and I could almost picture it. And it was a woman that was in the Marines. And I reckon the drill sergeant one morning put his or her hand on the Marine's shoulder and said, good morning, Marine. That made a difference in that person's life. The person in authority was acknowledging their effort, was acknowledging their accomplishment. They were now a Marine. I'll tell you something tonight. You say, Pastor, some of these youngins ain't much. How do you know something tonight? Apart from the grace of God, I ain't nothing. That might not be good English, but that's good preaching. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. The Apostle Paul said, you want to talk about sinners? I'm the chief. He said, y'all talk about saints. Put me down there with less than the least. What mean these stones? We can forget the failures of the flesh. We can move forward in faith. We don't have to fear the flood. We can trust our future to our Heavenly Father. How many's glad you come?